Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, all accounted for. Brady's here, Rich is here, Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Yo.
Oh, shut up with your... I know whatever you're going to say is going to be stupid coming out next.
I got to break it up. You ask me the same question at the same time every day, so I got to say something different every day.
No, we got new listeners every day. They don't, they're like, wow, we just called him handsome. Maybe that's the first time they ever heard that, you know?
That certainly should be the first time I've ever heard it.
I waited 3 hours for my free cone today, by the way.
Did you really?
Oh, my gosh.
I thought about it, but I was like, I have no, way too much work
I didn't,
to do.
I didn't go.
Free cone day?
No, but you know what's so funny is... Now I feel like having an ice cream. No, I'm serious. I feel like I was going to send the intern out to get a Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Now I feel like I having an ice cream, and there's nobody here to get me an ice cream.
It's like one of those things where it's like you have to. You might not watch golf, but you will watch Sunday at Augusta.
Right,
it's like you might not always eat ice cream, but
I got to have an ice cream now.
On free cone day, you'd just be doing a disservice.
And I can't really, you know, send them to the market to get Ben and Jerry's, but that's like a pint. And I don't want to just scoop out a pint. I want a cone now. You know what I mean? Because it was free cone day. And I usually don't have cones. I usually just go to the market, get like a pint or two. But now I got to have a cone.
But if you bring a pint to 265 Hegeman Avenue in Colchester, Vermont, inside of 48th and Ellen, that would be okay too.
My wife gave me the trick. The trick is to go to the UVM Ben and Jerry's. The line isn't as long.
Yeah, that's
there's a Ben and Jerry's at UVM?
Yeah, and there used to be some other ice cream company that was there. And
gosh, I didn't
know that.
A building
that isn't even there anymore, I don't think. But
I should have figured that out. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, now you've got me thinking about ice cream, too. That's like the heroin of junk food.
JT and Burling said the line on Church Street wraps around the block twice.
Wouldn't surprise me.
No, I would just say, excuse me, I would like to buy a cone. I don't want to wait. I will pay double to buy a cone
double.
Right now.
Zero. Double of zero.
If it's like $3, I don't even know what it costs for $5 for a cone, I'll pay $10. Well, I just need a cone right now.
Instead
please.
Of paying double, how about if you pay half price for appetizers tonight at the Burger
yes,
Bar?
Yes, I am looking forward to it. It's trivia tonight. Trivia at the Burger Barn.
Burger Bar.
Burger Bar, thank you.
Yeah, it's not a barn.
Bar. No, it's not a barn. It's the Burger Bar. Half price off on all the appetizers,
yes,
including the wings, and great drink specials that my wife sent me that I'm not looking up right now that I'll have to
get
to.
Well, that's all right.
Oh,
but
stop.
You're...
It's easy. It's $2.50 for 16-ounce Miller Lite aluminum bottles.
That's true.
$3 Miller Lite draft.
That's true.
$3 Blue Moon bottles.
That's true.
And $2.50 Coors Light bottles. That's very affordable.
Good.
Look how you could remember so much more when you're 28.
Exactly.
Is that just incredible?
Well,
did you have for breakfast, Rich? You don't know. Do you?
No, I had Cocoa Krispies.
Oh.
Cocoa Krispies? Cocoa Puffs are better than Cocoa Krispies.
Good. I rotate them. And Count Chocula
they still
when it's
make,
available.
They still make Cocoa Krispies?
Yeah. Yeah, trust me, they make them.
Because I'm dying for some Captain Crunch.
Oh, I used to eat now, so much. What don't you want?
Well, I used to eat so much Captain Crunch. It used to rip the roof of my mouth. You know, on top. You know,
yes, those did hurt if you ate them too quickly.
Oh, I would eat the whole box.
No, I go to the store and every week I'll get like Fruit Loops and then Count Chocula.
My favorite. I don't know if
I'm 12.
Brady, you're not going to remember this, but Quisp and Quake. Yeah. Remember that?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. That was like my new
Cocoa Pebbles.
That was my new. Oh, Cocoa Pebbles was the best.
Frankenberry.
I was addicted to Cocoa Pebbles. Wow. I was.
On the cereal power rankings.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't have the official rankings right here.
Captain Crunch is number one.
Captain Crunch is phenomenal.
Absolute number one.
Trix.
Trix is excellent.
Fruit Loops.
Slow down on the Trix.
Fruit Loops are very good.
Fruit Loops is just colored sugar. That's all it is.
Fruit Loops is very good. Frosted Flakes.
Oh, absolutely.
And now they make chocolate Frosted Flakes.
Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. Oh,
Cocoa Puffs is very overrated.
And of course, the parents would bring overrated. Wheaties and what was just awful cereal that nobody wanted.
Corn
you have to
flakes.
Put about a pound of sugar on it to get anywhere.
Just Corn Flakes with the rooster
corn
on front.
Flakes. It's like, why don't I just eat some air?
Yeah.
Mini Wheats are very good.
No.
Yes, they are.
No.
But the best one that you're missing is the Rice Krispie Treats. Not Rice Krispies, the Rice Krispie Treats.
In cereal or just the treats?
Yeah, cereal.
That got a pound of sugar on it? Because that's another one. Rice Krispies, Mom would try to get me to eat, and you got to pour all the sugar all over it.
So. I didn't even know people still... I thought I was like the only one that still eats cereal, too.
I'm like, no, every day.
Yeah, I love it. I think people are getting away from cereal.
Someone says Apple Jacks on the phone.
Love Apple Jacks.
Those are
love it.
Fruit Loops unoriginal cousin. They're still great.
But it's good.
Sugar Smacks.
Someone said Lucky Charms.
Also great.
Lucky Charms perhaps in the top three most overrated cereals.
Oh, stop.
Ever out there.
Well, they de-sugared it. I had some the other day, and there's about half the amount of sugars when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Lucky Charms are excellent.
Yeah, they are. Well, they were.
As are mini wheats.
No, I don't do the mini wheats thing.
As are the Reese's peanut butter bites or the Reese's puffs.
Good. How bad could that be?
I'd rather just take like a slice of cake and pour milk over and say I'm having cereal. I'd rather go ahead and
do that. Cody in Plattsburgh. Brady, Rice Krispie treats were my favorite, along with French Toast Crunch, which is also phenomenal.
French Toast Crunch. I've not had, but I've seen that. I've started salivating over that. The phone's going crazy over it.
The phone is like blowing up. Oh my goodness, we were giving something away.
Well, because you told me you were, what were you eating again?
I had Cocoa Krispies for breakfast this morning.
I didn't even know because I thought the cereal selection went way down. I thought they were just like, there's like 10 cereals.
Oh, no.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, another great one. Someone said, how about Honeycombs, which I never liked.
By the way, do you still get a toy in your cereal?
None.
Not like at the Coda Ring?
No, it used to drive me crazy because you had to stick your entire arm to get at it at the bottom.
I still have the glasses that you can see through people's clothes, so I should bring them in.
Please don't. In this day and age, you can get in some real trouble.
Anyway, the Burger Bar is how it all started. We'll be there tonight, 7:30, half-price appetizers. And as Brady said, all those great drink specials. So looking forward to that.
And two people would like you to know that Ben & Jerry's no longer on the UVM campus.
Oh, you see that? My wife
Someone said, blew it! Someone called and said it's in the Davis Center, which is like the career center.
Right.
Then two other people texted and said, not there. And then another guy called in and said that there used to be a dairy bar,
yes,
I think it was.
It was right next to where the Davis Center is now.
And it was because UVM was an agricultural school.
Yes, and it was out of this world on a summer day.
Glenn and Moncton said Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Booberry.
Absolutely. Pure sugar, baby.
Yeah, you got it. You definitely got to go ahead and get the sugar there.
Double-stuffed Oreos and milk in a bowl.
That sounds awesome.
From Milo and North Troy.
I'm in for that. Brady, tell everybody about the mistake of the day, would you please?
Yeah, that's right. We started this yesterday, and we're going to keep this going for a while. So the mistake of the day. So here's what happens. We make a mistake. You guys text it in, 802-655-6672. At the end of the show, maybe we have one mistake. Maybe we have 100 mistakes. But everybody who texts in a mistake, you qualify, and at the end of the week, or at the end of the day, we get a qualifier for that day. Yesterday, it was Cody in Plattsburgh.
Yep.
And at the end of the week, we'll have five qualifiers, and the winner of the five qualifiers will get a brand new 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. Thanks to our friends from Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, where they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
Yeah, I wear all the swag you see that says 101.3 on my jackets and my hats and all that, all made up there. So definitely that's going to be a lot of fun. So the mistake of the day, just text on in 802-655-6672, and we'll get to that also. Brady, what do we got coming up today real quick?
Well, we're busy today. Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, we're going to talk to him in 5 minutes about the Giants. We'll talk about offseason activities, which started yesterday. Josh Rosen in town. We'll talk about that as well with Paul Schwartz. We'll give away our last sets of Red Sox tickets.
And
because we are broadcasting, or because we are interviewing Paul Schwartz at 4:15, we will do the Red Sox ticket giveaway at the end of segment two. So it'd be about 4:30. So 4:30 instead of 4:20.
Yep.
Tom Karen of Nesson at 4:35. We'll talk more about Rosen in an interesting article from ESPN about which Red Sox are headed to the Hall of Fame.
Paul Schwartz covers the Giants for the Post, coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN. Go.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball. Ah! Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It's a Tuesday. We got a lot to get to. Remember, of course, we got trivia tonight at the Burger Bar. We hope to see you there at about 7:30. But first, we go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, he covers the Giants for the New York Post. It's Paul Schwartz. How you doing, Paul?
Guys, how's Burlington going?
Nice. It's a sunny day, 45 degrees, and what more can you ask for up here? You're an Albany guy, are you not, or what?
I am. Well, I went to school there. I'm a Long Island guy. I went to school in Albany. The last time, I spent a lot of time in Burlington covering minor league baseball, covering a bunch of other things. The last time I was in Burlington was about 3 years ago. My daughter took a visit there to look at the school, and it was about minus 9 degrees. And it's strange because it was in April.
Well, yeah, we're used to that. And Paul, last time we spoke, I was working in Albany, so I know you're an Albany guy. What's your stance on UVM, knowing that now they've kind of overtaken Albany in the America East in hoops, huh?
Well, overtaken, yeah. I mean, certainly, I think UMBC has overtaken everybody. As far as I was watching that game and stunned that Vermont lost. You know, Vermont was clearly the best team in the league all year, the last couple of years. And, you know, it's so interesting, isn't it, that, you know, if Vermont would not have been a 16th seed, right?
Right, they wouldn't have played.
They would not have played Virginia, so because I think Vermont would have had no chance to beat Virginia. No discredit to Vermont. It's just the styles would have been more similar. You know what I mean? But they wouldn't have had to play Virginia. It's just so weird how the tournament goes sometimes, where you know Vermont has a crushing loss in Patrick Gymnasium, and all of a sudden, you know, it looks like UMBC is just a sacrificial lamb, and they end up. Having a crazy game against Virginia. No, but, put it this way. The Catamounts certainly haven't overtaken Albany in lacrosse, right?
That's true. Not yet.
Paul, let's get to some football. Giants at number two. If they don't take a quarterback, don't you have to at least trade down and get fair value or get the most value out of that number two pick? Or do you think they will take a quarterback? I mean, there's so much smoke out there. Now, today was the latest where I guess rumor was that they like Josh Allen or something. My head's spinning from all the rumors. What's going on? What do you think they do at number two?
Well, let me ask you something. Why, if they don't take a quarterback, would they have to trade down?
Because there's so many teams that want those quarterbacks up there that I feel that you can get whoever you want outside the top five. And too many teams have three teams have two picks in the first round. I think they get some of that stuff. Why, you disagree?
Well, I don't necessarily disagree, but I don't think the Giants are going to trade down below like five or six. You know, I think they're pretty adamant they want to get a great player in this draft, and they think there's two or three of them. I do not think they will take a quarterback at this point. I really don't. I don't think they would take Josh Allen. I don't think they would take Josh Rosen. I know they wouldn't take Baker Mayfield. And I don't think at number two they would take Sam Darnold. So I'm not a Giants will take a quarterback guy. I believe that they will have at least three players. Well, I would say three players on their board rated higher than any of the quarterbacks. That's Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb, and Quentin Nelson. I do not think they will take Quentin Nelson at number two, even though they love him and think he's probably the safest pick in this draft. I just don't think they will take a guard number two. I think they want to take a put it this way. The general manager, Dave Gettleman, has set two criteria for that number two pick. He has to be a guy who you can envision wearing a gold jacket, so a guy who you can envision being a Hall of Famer. And the number two pick this year has to be a guy who must be worthy of the number two pick, not only in this draft, but in any draft. Now, with those criteria, I don't think you can take a quarterback. There's no way Sam Darnold, who's considered the best quarterback in this draft, would hold up as the number two pick in any draft. He just wouldn't. I'm not saying he's not going to be a good quarterback, but he would just not hold up as the number two quarterback in any draft. Barkley would, Bradley Chubb would, and Quentin Nelson would. So I think the Giants would certainly entertain offers to move down. But, you know, all first-round picks are not created equal, right? I mean,
right.
You know, the Bills have, what, 12 and 21? That's interesting. But they would have to get a lot. They would have to probably get a first-round pick next year as well to consider that to move down to 12. You know, I think the Giants would be very happy to sit at number two and take Saquon Barkley.
So, Paul, I'm assuming that way of thinking then draft-wise is a vote of confidence for Eli Manning, maybe not just even next year, but maybe for the next couple of years?
Well, look, they're committed to Eli. You know, they said that. They're committed to Eli for this year, so they don't need a quarterback this year. Let's get one thing straight, guys. I do think if the Giants looked at one of these quarterbacks and said, we think this guy can be our franchise quarterback, that can replace Eli Manning at some point, they would take him. You know, I don't think it's like we're not taking a quarterback this year because we want Eli to start. I mean, ideally, none of these guys will start right away. They just won't. You know, I don't think they're that kind of prospect. I don't think the Browns will start. If they draft Sam Darnold, they have Tyrod Taylor to start. So none of these guys have to start right away per se. But so I don't think they're anti-quarterback. I just think they're anti-quarterbacks in this draft.
Paul,
you know, and look, Eli's on under contract for 2 years. He's coming off a 3-13 record. He started, 15 games and won three of them. So he had a bad year. The team had a terrible year. It wasn't all his fault. They fortified things in front of him and around him, and I think they believe he can at least have another 1 or 2 years left, yes.
Paul Schwartz covers the Giants for the New York Post. He's here with us on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I've made this comparison a lot in the last few months, but how vital is this draft? Because I see the Giants a lot like the Knicks, a team who hasn't drafted well, who has tried to go out and be big in free agency, and sometimes it works and sometimes it blows up in your face like it did last year. How important is this draft for them to hit 3, 4, 5 home runs in this draft?
Oh, you cannot underplay how important this draft is. I mean, first of all, look, you're drafting number two. That's important in any year. But, you know, the Browns draft up there every year, you know. So, you know, it's just more of the same for a team like that. The Giants haven't drafted number two in 37 years, since 1981 when they got Lawrence Taylor. So it's vitally important. And you know, I don't disagree as far as, you know, you guys talking about quarterbacks. It would be vitally important for them to get a quarterback if they think one is worthy. And there's no question. You know, they were so bad last year. This is the reward, right? It's you know, it's reverse discrimination, right? Whatever you want to call it. You know, the rich get poorer and the poor get richer here. And so they have to get a great player in this draft. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
They have to get a great player in this draft. And, you know, I think they feel that Barkley is one. I think they feel that Bradley Chubb certainly could be one also.
Well, you know, Paul, my point about trading down is if I'm Buffalo, I'm calling the Giants saying, hey, I'll give you number 21 and number 12, obviously. You might take a third-round pick from me, and I want that number 2 pick. If I'm the Giants, I'd do it in a heartbeat. If the Patriots called and said, we want the heir apparent to Tom Brady, you'll give him number 23, number 31, and maybe, let's say, number 63, so they get another pick in the second round. I'd do it in a heartbeat if I'm the Giants. Am I wrong on that or what?
Well, no, look, it's an opinion. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
But like I said, all first-round picks are not created equal. What the heck do the Giants want the Patriots' 2 first-round picks? You know what I mean? They're way down the bottom. You know, the Bills at least have a number 12 pick. You can get a much different caliber of prospect. You know, probably the second tier. The first tier are the three guys I mentioned. You know, then you have some quarterbacks. So, you know, I think the Giants would ask for 2 first-round picks and a first-round pick next year as well.
Wow.
I really do. Or a second round. Look, the Jets traded up and got 3 second-round picks, right?
Yeah.
To go, and the Colts only had to go to 6. You know, you're asking the Giants to go to 30 or 28? I mean, you know, that's not – but then you're going to have to get a killing – out of one of these teams for the Giants to go down that low. And put it this way, Dave Gettleman has never traded down, never. You know, with the Panthers, he didn't ever trade it down. So he's not a, you know, he'll look in and investigate and all these other things, but at the end of the day, I think Dave will stay where he is.
Speaking of Gettleman, what are your impressions so far?
Well, I don't do impressions, but it's interesting because, you know, Dave Gettleman is a Boston guy. He spent 15 years with the Giants, and every once in a while, he throws in one of these Boston accent words. He was at the Senior Bowl. I was sitting with him in a very small group, and he kept on saying, look, we need Connors, okay? We need Connors. You know, we really think we need, you know, everyone needs Connors. We need Connors. And I'm thinking to myself, who the hell is Connors, right? Connors. You know, I should know who this guy is. He's talking about him like he's such an important player. Who's Connors? He was saying corners.
Oh,
he was saying, we need corners. Every team needs corners. And he's pronouncing it Connors. And I'm like, Dave, you've been out of Boston for 30 years. But that's, you know, that's him. I'm impressed with him. I knew Dave Gettleman when he was with the Giants all those years. He's a no-nonsense guy. He's a funny guy. He's a gregarious guy, and, you know, he came in and says, I'm here to kick ass, and I think he's, you know, doing some of that right now with some of the moves he made. You know, giving Nate Solder $62 million is a pretty bold move, but he did it.
Well, Paul, the other issue on the offensive line is Eric Flowers. He's supposed to move to right tackle to make room for Nate Solder, but he's the only Giant who doesn't show up yesterday at offseason workouts. How big a message is that from Flowers to Gettleman? And I can't imagine it's one that Gettleman likes very much.
No, I mean, I'm not going to go too crazy yet. I certainly wrote about that in the New York Post today and mentioned it, that he was the only player who didn't make it. I want to see, you know, when he shows up. It's voluntary. If he shows up, you know, on Thursday, if he shows up Friday, if he shows up, you know, tomorrow, what he's doing. You know, it's funny. At this time last year, we were all praising Eric Flowers, and then moving forward into the spring and summer, he was at the facility every day. He was showing his commitment by being there every day. He and Bobby Hart, all we heard about, Eric Flowers and Bobby Hart are in the facility every day. They both look great, all this other stuff. And you know what? They had bad years. So I'm not saying he should stay away, and he better have a darn good excuse. Look, the Giants can't jump ugly with him because this stuff is voluntary. But if indeed this is any kind of message, it's a bizarre one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they told him you're not starting at left tackle. They told him, they didn't tell him you're starting at right tackle. They said you'll compete to start on the right side, either at tackle or at guard. And if he is bent out of shape about this, and that's why he's not here, that is a really, really bad career decision.
Yeah. By the way, Paul Schwartz joining us right here on the TikTok Jewelers Guest Line. By the way, speaking about Instagram models, leafy cigarettes, and white substances, what's up with Odell Beckham Jr.? What's going on with him? Will they really trade him? Was that just a big smoke screen there or what? What's going on?
Well, I will not even dignify that with a response unless you mention the key thing in that video.
Pizza.
What kind of pizza?
I don't know. What kind was it?
What kind? It was in the video. It was obvious. Sports people have to know these things. This is important.
I thought it was Pizza Hut.
Was it pizza?
It was a pepperoni pizza sitting on that bed.
Okay. That was going to be my guess.
Ernie not doing his homework.
Missed it.
Well, it was in Paris, okay? So you could have guessed something a little more exotic, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You could have said truffle pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? In Paris. And you know what's really disappointing is it almost looked like a Domino's kind of pizza. You know what I mean? And if he was sitting in a Paris, really fancy Paris hotel with a beautiful French model and had like a Domino's style pepperoni pizza, I would lose all respect for Odell.
Yeah, I already have.
Put it that way. Well, look, I don't think he's going to be traded. I don't think it was much ado about nothing 2 weeks ago in Orlando, you know, but the Giants are not happy with some of the stuff Odell does. And this video kicked off ownership. And when John Mara said, I'm tired of answering questions about Odell's behavior, and he knows what he has to do moving forward, he meant exactly what he said, that we're not going to pay this guy all this money unless he shapes up and proves that we can trust him with all this money. Now, number one, he has to prove that he's healthy, right? You know, he has to prove that he's coming back from that fractured left ankle and he's okay. And he has to just stay out of the news, stay out of everything, you know, and we'll see. I mean, I don't think any deal would get done before the end of the summer anyway. They need to see if he's healthy. They need to see where his head's at. You know, there's no reason to do it now. So we'll see what happens. Something could get done, but I do not think he will be traded.
All right. Paul, great job, my friend. We have to go ahead and do it again. I can't wait for the draft, and we'll certainly do it again later on, Paul. Thanks a lot.
Sure, anytime, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Schwartz, everybody, covers the Giants for the New York Post. So
what a scream.
Got a lot of info from him, no doubt about that. Unbelievable. So, I'm still thinking the Giants are going to trade down. I know that's a long way down if they take the Patriots picks, but there's a lot of good players in this draft. And, I could see Gettleman saying, you know, I got to rebuild anyway, so I'll take as many first-round and second-round picks as I get my hands on. That's if you're not taking a quarterback. I still think they're going to take a quarterback.
Yeah, with a draft with this kind of depth, and he's saying, who wants the Patriots picks? Well, everyone, I think. 23 and 31.
Yeah, but
that's
those
not
are
bad.
But if Gettleman's saying we think we can get a Hall of Fame player at number two as opposed to a bunch of useful players, Gettleman strikes me as a no-nonsense home run kind of guy. He wants to take a transcendent player, and I think whether we agree with it or not, I think he'd rather have one transcendent Hall of Fame lock in his mind than have two guys that we think are depth pieces in the first round, even as starters potentially. I think the only thing, based on what Paul said at this point, that I would buy is that they trade back with Cleveland from 2 to 4, and they take 4 from Cleveland and something else relatively early in the second round. I think that's about the only thing that I see at this
point.
It
just makes me wonder if you're going to take two first rounders and maybe a second rounder, and the Hall of Famer is the number two pick, what gets you out of 3-13 faster? Three good additions or one great addition? I mean, yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
I'm willing to take 12-21 from Buffalo with a second-round pick. I'm going to be willing to do that 100 times, or take New England's 23-31-43. Give me those three picks. I'll take that for the number two pick and rebuild my team real fast. And by the way, you know, those are, what, two late first-round selections and a second-round selection. Yeah. That's not chopped liver, my friends. That's some good stuff. Now, Giants are talking to Josh Rosen today. Is that what happened there?
Yeah, they're meeting with Rosen this week. I think it's going in today into tomorrow. And really, at this point, these teams have done so much homework on these guys. What even is there left to ask, Arnie? If you're meeting with Rosen, what do you want to know from him?
The only thing I want to know is if there's any problem with you playing in New York.
Yes, I totally agree.
I just want to know. That's mostly for Cleveland. You got any problems playing for us in Cleveland or wherever? I mean, who knows with athletes nowadays? They could have a problem playing in Indianapolis, Arizona. I have no clue, but that's the only thing I want to know. You have a problem playing in the big city, the bright lights in New York, because if you do now, speak up now, or I don't want to hear your BS.
And I mean, maybe it's media, you know, BS, but are you all in? I mean, you know, I mean, we've been hearing from various people in his world as to whether this is 100, you know, are you 1,000% behind doing this, or do you have too many other interests?
Yeah, you know, Arnie, I think it's interesting what you said, and I think I take the same topic but the opposite stance. You say, are you okay playing in New York? I almost wonder, is he too okay playing in New York? Is he too Broadway Joe? Is he too Broadway Mark Sanchez? As opposed to, I'm not saying, is he going to be intimidated by the bright lights? I'm saying, is he going to love the bright lights too much and be too flashy?
That's like you're asking for Los Angeles or Miami.
Yeah.
Or New Orleans, even, for that matter.
That's how I look at that. Did you read the ESPN, the magazine cover story on him that's out? It comes out in the next edition of the magazine, but it's online now at ESPN.com. Really fascinating. It's actually more a question and answer with Rosen, but it's pretty in-depth. And maybe I'm just easily persuaded, but I walked away from reading this liking Rosen a lot more, because I like people who have self-awareness. And he's a guy who said, look, I didn't handle certain things in college well. I didn't handle my freshman year all that well. When they gave me the keys to the castle, I was too arrogant. He talked about the jacuzzi in his dorm room. I like guys with self-awareness, and he seemed to show that. I got that impression. There were a lot of things he said he wanted to atone for from early on in his life. And he talked about when's appropriate to take a stance on things. He said he'll continue to do that, but that he's going to be all in, especially at first, until he establishes himself. I like that.
It's not like he sold a laptop or anything like that.
No, let's slow down.
But I love guys like that, too. You know, I always talk about people like that. I mean, he says, I'm the best quarterback in the draft, but then he goes on and says, I'm far from the flashiest. You know, he says, but then think about guys like Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. They weren't flashy. They aren't flashy. They're not Johnny Manziel. And he says, that's not me. He called himself efficient and monotonously consistent.
I like this text. First time texter says, in response to Paul Schwartz, no such thing as a lock Hall of Fame pick. I have heard the NFL has more second and third rounders than first rounders. Is he talking about Hall of Famers?
I would guess that.
I mean, I wouldn't see that as shocking. You'd have to look that up. I bet you there's a stat on that, Brady, where Hall of Famers, what round were they taken in? Well, because a lot of the old-timers are not first-round picks.
Yeah, no, that's skewed a little bit, obviously, because the second through whatever the last round is, there's a lot more human beings being drafted from that.
But I'm just saying, you know, I bet you first-rounders are probably second or third when it comes to Hall of Famers. I don't know.
All I can tell you is this. This is just one quick search. This is for the 2014 season, just the 2014 season. Of starters in the NFL, the first round had by far the most starters. So I'm not saying Hall of Famers, but round one, 178 starters, round two, 104, round three, 75.
Wow, that's not a big difference. So you're telling me I can get a starter in two starters for later on, but you said first-round pick, so I'm getting two first-round picks, so I'm getting two starters. And if I'm lucky enough and nail a pick in the second round, I'm getting three starters for the price of one. That's
178 to 104. That's a pretty big difference.
Not really. I'm not, I believe that's
nearly, it's nearly double.
I'm willing to roll the dice, but you're giving me two first-round picks, though. Let's not forget about you. Give me two first-round picks.
And financially, it makes so much more sense, too. I mean, a lot of coaches, and Belichick is right in the middle of this, is absolutely quantity over quality in a lot of cases.
All right, Brady, we got some tickets to give away.
Yes, Golic and Wingo, word of the day, 802-655-6672. Can you be caller number five? And then we got Tom Caron.
That's all next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, who won our Red Sox tickets?
Joe from Essex.
Joe from Essex.
Yep.
There could be 10 Joe from Essex coming in saying, Joe, I'm Joe from Essex here. Give me my tickets.
Joe B.
Joe B.
Yes.
That clarifies that. Yeah, Joe B. So if only one Joe B in Essex, I hope. I'm hoping that is. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, our Red Sox and Bruin insider, Ness, and it's Tom Caron. How you doing, TC?
I'm good. How's Joe B going to get from Essex to Boston in 2 hours? That's the question.
Well, it's not today's game.
It's for another game against the Rays. Surprise, surprise.
Yes, yes. Your kid's going to drive him down.
He hasn't played the Rays enough. I don't need more games against the Rays.
TC, tell me if this is too early, please. Who do I speak to for Mets Red Sox World Series tickets?
Bill Buckner.
Too early for that. I mean, they're both red hot, 8-1. I'm all excited. I didn't think the Mets were going to start this hot, and the Red Sox, after losing the first game, I'm like, wow, 8 in a row. This is fantastic for them.
Yeah, but as we know, the season begins tonight, right? I mean, that's what everybody's telling me anyway. They're telling me spring training's finally over after a bunch of games against Tampa Bay and Miami. It should get more interesting tonight, that's for sure. These two teams were built to try to win the division and win the World Series, and it's been a while since I've sort of felt this way coming into the ballpark for a Red Sox-Yankees game, but it's got a little feel to that old rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, Stanton's first game at Fenway, well, probably not his first, but his first, obviously, with the Yankees. Sale Severino, I mean, this has a lot of subplots this early, doesn't it?
Well, it totally does, you know, and the way Stanton was getting booed at Yankee Stadium, you know, they're the ones who have not gotten off to the good start. He has a pair of 5 strikeout games, as you know. I thought it was stunning the other day. They walked Judge, Buck Showalter, intentionally walking Judge to get to Stanton. And Stanton was a little testy after the media saying, you know, yeah, I don't know. They asked him, when's the last time somebody was walked to get to you? I don't know. And then, you know, if you saw it in the 12th inning, they had bases loaded, nobody out. Judge hits into the double play, and then Stanton strikes out. So your big 1-2 punch didn't come through. Meantime, Red Sox, you know, felt like the Mother's Day miracle from 07 the other day here with the 6 runs all coming with 2 outs in the 8th inning, and they've been a fun team.
TC, what do we know about Xander Bogaerts' injury? Anytime I hear a crack, I get worried. Are you believing it's only 10 to 14 days?
Well, I just talked to him a little bit ago. He believes it, and I guess that's what counts. He wasn't even wearing his boot today, just walking around in a pair of, what do you call those things, flip-flops or slides, and said it's still painful, said it depends how he stands on it, it's still painful, but they don't even have it immobilized, so I thought that was a pretty good sign. Sounds like it's a very minor fracture, a very minor crack, and so, you know, he said he's happy it wasn't worse. He thought that he'd be able to get back soon, maybe not much longer than the DL itself. So I think they dodged a bullet there.
Do we know exactly when it happened? Did it happen when he slid?
He doesn't know. No, I asked him point blank, and he doesn't know. He doesn't know why. You know, I'm not going to take a stab at it, but he, you know, somewhere when he was sliding down that step, my guess is he kind of landed on that last step, you know, when it was the hard thump when he landed at the end. But he said, you know, after it happened with the adrenaline flowing and the ball still in play, he got back up and took 2-3 steps before he even felt it, he said. So he really never felt it happened. You know, he said there wasn't a pop. There wasn't anything that felt like it was getting dislocated. He just got up, took 2 steps, and felt pain.
TC, what's the latest on Pedroia? What's going on with him?
So I guess he's going to go to Florida at some point here pretty soon. They said Tuesday. So next Tuesday at the end of the homestand, he'll go to Florida and start tracking pitches and taking cuts and taking another step closer, which is great news for this team because that means he's taking the next step forward in his rehab. So that's good news. You know, they played well, but they need him back, you know, especially defensively. I mean, obviously they need his bat in the lineup as well, but you watch defensively, and Nunez has limitations in his range. As much as I think he's a good player, Pedroia, as we know, tracks down everything anywhere near second base.
How about Drew Pomerantz? Is he on his way?
He's going to make another minor league start on Friday, I believe it is, up with Portland. I'm sure they'll dig out the snow and get that game in. He walked six guys the other day for Pawtucket on Sunday. So I think that, you know, they want to see him have at least one more turnaround to try to get that command back. They haven't said who'll make the start, but you know it's going to be the Johnson or Velazquez for the number five spot for now. My guess, I would think it'd be Johnson, but you never know. Velazquez is righty, and that would keep him from having so many lefties, so we'll see how it plays out.
You mentioned the snow. I mean, TC, do they ever think about with guys like Pomerantz or anyone that's rehabbing in April, maybe to just send them to Greenville or Salem for that start?
Yeah, I mean, they do sometimes, but I think they like to keep them close by. When the team's home, they'd rather have them pitch. Listen, you're going to be pitching like this stuff in the major leagues, too, as we've seen here. So you might as well go get used to it. And I think they like having him near as the major league medical staff. So, you know, he can zip up there Friday afternoon, pitch Friday night, and be back here before the Sox game is over.
Tom Karen, our Red Sox and Bruins insider at Nesson, with us here on 101.3 ESPN. I got to ask, I watched every minute of the Red Sox pregame on Sunday. I did not know that the Nesson clubhouse was entirely run by kid reporters. Is that a staple? Are they every day the same guys, or is it a different crew every day?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because this year it's a whole – I don't – you think I have anything to do with that? But, yeah, no, it's different this year. We used to have TJ, the kid TJ used to be our co-host. Right. And the problem is, you know, show's been around like, I don't know how long now, 5 years or something. Now he's getting ready to go to college, not a kid anymore. So this year they got a whole bunch of new kids who are going to kind of rotate as the co-hosts, along with Jeremiah Webster, Casey McDonald, whoever's our host for the show. So, yeah, they used him. I mean, it's funny, if you watch the Open, my son is one of the kids behind a camera in their little open where they have sort of the kids. Yeah, and he was like 12. He's 18 now. You know, he's been begging me to get him off that because his friends give him crap about it. But
I love it.
Yeah, we all get older, so you know, you got to find some new kids.
You know, I saw that Sister Jean is throwing out the first pitch for the Cubs. Any memorable first pitches? You can tell us any good stories or no?
I'm throwing, you know, you talk about Sea Dogs, I'm throwing one in June at Hadlock Field when they have my bobblehead night. So how about that one?
Are we going to get a...
You ever see the 50 Cent first pitch?
Yes. Yes.
It looks like a 45-degree left turn. And, it was closer to first base. I'm going to try to replicate that. I'm going to throw it in the dugout.
Arnie and I threw strikes last year at the Vermont Lake Monsters.
Oh, so you're putting the pressure on. You know, the best... My favorite one, a couple years ago, and I actually got a chance to talk to him, Will Ferrell was here and threw out the first pitch, and he did a perfect Louis Tiant impersonation.
Oh.
He did the whole windup, and he double-pumped on the back, you know, turn and threw a strike with it. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
TC, we're going to talk about this in hour two, but ESPN had an article today that says that they think Mookie Betts, Craig Kimbrell, and Chris Sale could all be on the Hall of Fame track. Do you think of the Red Sox as having three potential Hall of Famers?
Who was the third? Mookie Betts, Kimbrell, and who?
And Chris Sale.
That's interesting. You know, it's awful early. I mean, Kimbrell, I think, of the three, is obviously furthest along because he's been doing it the longest. Yeah, Mookie Betts, I mean, you're talking a guy who's, you know, we assume now is going to continue being a top 10 MVP candidate. And Sale, you know, it's a good point because, you know, you got a guy who threw 300 strikeouts last year, a complete dominance on the mound. But, you know, as we know, a lot of very good players were great for a short period of time. But to be in the Hall of Fame, you have to continue doing it for a long stretch. So it's not out of the question, but they've got a long way to go.
TC, switching over to the Bruins.
Uh-oh.
Man, I was bummed the other night. They just came out as flat as could be in a game that with relevance against a team that had nothing to play for. But that being said, I mean, Toronto, what do you think? I mean, obviously the Maple Leafs can score a lot of goals.
Yeah, I felt pretty good about all of this 2 weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, and then all of a sudden, you know, not just the one game the other night, but they've had about four games here where you face teams that have cranked up the desperation level and the intensity, and you haven't matched it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real concern. You know, this is a very young team. And And honestly, in a lot of ways, it reminds me of how I felt about the Red Sox in 2016, right? They won the division. You said, oh, boy, I hope we get Cleveland. They're going to roll over Cleveland and go all the way to the World Series. And three games later, you've been swept by the Indians. And we all remember Mookie Betts after that saying, wow, you know, the playoffs are different. We got to learn how to deal with this. And they're still trying to figure it out. Point being, this Bruins team is also a very young team. And they, listen, they're good enough to win the Stanley Cup. They're young enough that they could lose in the first round. And that's what's frightening, you know. And I hope they get off to a good start, because I think if you lose game one or if you lose one of the two games at home, you know how these things can suddenly snowball on you. You go up there, Air Canada Center is one of the toughest places as far as, you know, a playoff intimidation factor that you're going to have in the NHL. Would have been a lot easier to take on those guys down in Newark, but they blew that chance. And so, yeah, I think there's cause to be concerned.
TC, I'm going back to baseball real quick, because it seems like you are the only person not working at The Athletic right now, but The Athletic in Boston just launched, and David Price was talking about Christian Vasquez, and I think he said he's one of the best catchers he's ever thrown to. Does Vasquez, I don't ever seem to think about him being a great catcher. What do people say about him in the building?
Well, I mean, he's a great catcher because he's kind of the complete package, right? You know, I mean, he hit really well. Second half last year, hit over 300, wound up at 290 for the year. One of the best guys at throwing base runners out. And I think he's coming into his own as far as calling the game and catching for the pitcher. So, yeah, I think he's absolutely. I mean, that's why they locked him up with all the young guys. He was the first that they've locked up. And I think it's noteworthy that Chris Sale has been pitching to him when last year he threw to Leon almost every time. Yeah, that's no surprise to me. I think Christian Vasquez, I think we've been calling him one of the best young pitchers in the game. Now I think it's fair to call him one of the best catchers in the game overall.
All right, my friend, enjoy the game tonight. It's going to be a good matchup, so definitely looking forward to it. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yeah, thanks. There will be a day where we will watch baseball not wearing long johns, but that day has not come yet. So bundle up.
All right.
Tell Joe from Essex to get down here.
Yeah, Joe B. That's Joe B, not Joe any B. Joe. Yes.
We'll be looking for him tomorrow night.
Take care. Top care of everybody.
Thanks, TC.
Our Red Sox insider from Nesson. So, yeah, I'm waiting. I think there's 10 Joe B's in the lobby right now here to get their tickets. So,
well, I just hope they can get the game in tonight. I mean, it's looking, it's not raining down there right now, but it's very overcast, just kind of gloomy looking.
Easy
so.
There. Slow down. Slow Hopefully. Down there. All right, we'll have Gone But Not Forgotten as we wrap up our number one. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier in South Burlington. Open 24-7 in your time of need. Call Elmwood Meunier. They have pet burials. They have sports theme burials even. So give them a call. Look at that look on your face.
You would bury me in my Bruins shirt.
Yeah, if you could be buried in one casket, Bruins, Red Sox, or Patriots.
Man.
Or Celtics.
That's tough. I got to go Bruins.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Barely.
Well, back in, let's get to the first person. Yes. 38 years old in 1992. Passing away is one of the best comedians I've ever had the privilege of hearing. And that would be Sam Kinison. I used to love
him. Well, I'm sorry I'm late. I was supposed to be here a little earlier, but I spent the last 2 hours at a 7-Eleven going, Marlboro! Smokey!
Rich,
that's all he did. That was his act.
That was his act. Was Stricky yelling? Do you know him, Brady? Do you know?
That's all he did.
Sam
Kinison? No, and I didn't think that was very funny.
No, you have to understand him.
Yes,
all he did was scream.
Let me tell you something. He was like one of the most famous comedians ever. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It wasn't one of the most beloved, but I mean, he was so out of his mind. He made you uncomfortable. You just sit there and it's like, what is this guy on?
And, of course, one other thing that we brought up yesterday, the passing of the children with the Humboldt Broncos.
Gosh, that's an interesting mix.
Yeah, that was absolutely tragic. There was even a mix-up in one of the
identifications,
but we just want to know that they're in our thoughts, no doubt about that.
Also Rich. Gone but not forgotten, the ability to be unbiased towards a football team in the NFL for the Dalai Lama. That's right, he's a Packers fan.
Wow.
It turns out he met with Aaron Rodgers, a photo posted on the Instagram page of the spiritual leader of Tibet, showed him meeting Aaron Rodgers, who presented him with a football and some Packers gear.
No cheesehead?
No, yes. Well, apparently there'll be some cheeseheads for him, I'm sure, but Rodgers is on a philanthropic mission with his girlfriend, who just happens to be Danica Patrick, on behalf of a Starkey Hearing Foundation, which gives hearing aids to people around the world. So a good cause, a wonderful person, but now he's a Packers fan. So.
Gone but not forgotten, Glenn Rice Jr., the former Michigan player and son of Glenn Rice, the NBA star from back in the day with the Hornets and the Heat. Well, he's been thrown off his basketball team in Israel for punching a teammate in the face.
Wow!
And he had a suspected facial fracture. He gave this teammate, the 27-year-old, is the Israeli league's top scorer.
Ooh.
At more than 24 points a game.
Nice. I want to play.
It's like Bill Romanowski.
Put me in the Israeli league.
Could you, being Jewish, could you get birthrighted into the Israeli league?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. No doubt.
So you could be bad, but
that's
Jewish?
But no, that's a good league, though.
I know it
is.
That's
a good, I don't think
I can
play
but you're
there.
Not.
Yes,
I'm
How
many fouls do you get in that league?
Hopefully I get 10. I get something like that. Alex and Moncton, it sounds like Artie does a Sam Kinison impersonation every day on the show. Thank you very much. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. They're there 24-7 in your time of need in South Burlington. Hour one of the books. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. Get you ready for hour two right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN Network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We got a lot to get to. Rich is excited. He just learned how to use his phone. Is that a flip phone?
Brady, you just saved me a lot of money, didn't you?
Yes, he did.
I think I might have.
Every single month, about 10 days into the month, I get a note saying overuse charges, too much data being used.
And all you
and
do
I'm
is
not
look
doing
up,
anything.
You look up Celtics scores is what you
Pretty
do.
Pretty much. I keep an eye on ESPN.
Because Rich didn't realize that when he comes to work and he's at home, he doesn't hook up his phone to the
Wi-Fi.
Oh, and I didn't know I was supposed to do that.
And you have like a million apps open also.
Yes, Rich has left every app he's ever used open on his phone.
I didn't know you had to close an app.
It's just great. Well, I didn't know that either.
So now there's a bunch of blue spots next to every app. I don't know what that means.
That means that they are updated.
And charge you triple. No, just.
So I've spent literally hundreds of dollars in overuse data charges, and you just fixed it.
Well, yes, because when you're at work or home, you can be on the Wi-Fi network.
Yes.
Okay.
You are.
It's called the internet, Rich. May I heard of it?
You are acting always on the cell network. And
okay.
The cell network is what is your data. And then when you go over that data, then you get charged for it. But if you go on Wi-Fi, you won't get charged for data.
This is literally, I mean, we're talking months and months of it being like this.
Of course,
and you just fixed it.
He invented the internet.
When I went through and deleted all the apps off your screen, there was still Uber up from your trip to Phoenix like a month ago.
Oh, it goes back way further than that. I'm surprised there aren't
any
Connecticut
keep charging.
Tiger references.
Uber will keep charging you if that app is open. So you've been charged. No, I'm just kidding about that.
Well, thank you. This is exciting. I feel like something got accomplished today.
Now you have to get something other than a flip phone, and you'll be fine there. Now, you have a...
No, if I had a flip phone, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that would not have happened.
All
100%
apps,
right on
whatever
that.
They are.
Brady, we're going to be at the Burger Bar trivia tonight up in Colchester. Going to be a lot of fun. It was packed in the first week. It was a lot of fun out there.
Yeah, and they've opened up the back room now. They've also got some more tables and chairs. So there's plenty of room for you to come on out tonight. And look, if you're a St. Michael student, it's right next door. Come and walk over. If you're a townsperson in the area, you know, around Colchester, Burlington, come on and hang out. It was a good mix of people last time. A lot of fun. And
half-price appetizers and wings, which is incredible.
Half-price appetizers, those wings are awesome.
Yes.
So they are.
What are the drink specials?
Well, $2.50 for Miller Lite. Lite aluminum bottles. Also, three for Miller Lite drafts, $2.50 for Coors drafts, $3 Blue Moon bottles. And Blue Moon is like, you know, especially if you're a college kid, Blue Moon is like fine wine. I mean, so $3 for that. That intern Sam was there last week, and he was enjoying some
of that. Yeah, he was enjoying some of that.
Yeah, so it was great. It was a mix of students and suburban families, and it was kind of cool. And
no,
it's,
it was good.
Come on by. It's right there on your way. It's not like 8 million cars aren't going by it at this time of the day.
We did a flawless hour number one.
We did, as a matter of fact.
Hour number one, not one mistake.
That's not good.
We didn't get one text for the mistake of the day like we did yesterday where we got 100.
We got 100 in the first hour.
Yeah, didn't get one in hour number one. Now, I know we had a couple of interviews, but you think Rich at least would have screwed something up.
Yeah.
You didn't even do that, Rich.
Saying Winnipeg isn't in the Stanley Cup playoffs or something to that effect.
Brady, tell everybody what they have to do to go ahead and find out the mistake of the day.
Yeah, the mistake of the day is a way for you to hold us accountable, which we know you love to do because we get emails, texts, tweets, calls on it every single day. So now we're giving you incentive for telling us that we're wrong. So every single day, we will do the mistake of the day. You will text in 802-655-6672 anytime you find a mistake in the show. It could be big. It could be small. If you send in that text, you are instantly qualified.
Yes.
What we do at the end of the day is then we pick randomly one winner to qualify for that day. So we'll have five qualifiers at the end of a week, one for each day. And then that winner will, or a winner of those five, we'll get an exclusive 101.3 ESPN baseball cap. Like Cody from Plattsburgh was our qualifier yesterday, so he's entered to try to get that baseball cap. And it's all thanks to our friends. Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
I wear all, you know, you guys always ask me about my jacket that I wear, not the heavy winter jacket, but the other one that says 101.3.
Yeah.
I got the winter hats. People ask me about that all the time. Where can I get a hat? Where can I get a hat? So
do they want yours right
off
your head?
They do, and believe me, well, they would take it. Would they not?
You forgot. You weren't here, Rich, because you were in Connecticut, but last summer at July 3rd, we were down at the waterfront.
Yes.
Arnie was wearing a...
a jacket.
You were wearing a sweatshirt.
On July 3rd?
No, a sweatshirt.
It was not July 3rd. It was Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest. That's very different.
So it was Oktoberfest down at the waterfront. Right. And somebody came up and challenged Arnie one-on-one basketball.
Yeah, wanted my sweatshirt.
For his sweatshirt.
Talk about an easy steal.
Oh, they want my jacket. It's like every time I wear it, I'm like, I have to wear this. This is my clothes. I just can't take it off. So,
we prefer you to be clothed.
So this is a good way of getting some 101.3 swag, no doubt about that. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up this segment?
Red Sox, Yankees, they kick off their first series of the year tonight, 2018. And I talked about it on Champlain Valley Game Night. Usually I'm not into an individual series in April. Usually just tell me the results. If you end April at 16-8, then I'm going to be happy. If you end it at 8-16, I'm going to be mad no matter how you got there. But this series feels very different. This one feels like this individual series really matters because there's a lot of tentacles, a lot of angles, and they're all interesting.
Who's it more important to? Red Sox to show a little dominance at home and say, hey, we're not going to fold. We're the two-time champions. Or the Yankees, who have had a little iffy start and maybe, I'm not going to say feel any pressure, but geez, I bet you Stan's feeling a little pressure, that's for sure.
Yeah, to me, this series is much more important for the Yankees. This series is more about the Yankees than it is the Red Sox to me. The Yankees' bullpen was supposed to be great. It's had its hand in all five losses that they've had. Stanton was supposed to be great. He is really struggling, hitting under 200. Struck out more times last week than Joe DiMaggio did all of 1941. That's how bad Giancarlo Stanton was last week. They're on the road. They're already 3.5 games behind the Red Sox. It's never too early to standings watch. If the Yankees go and get swept and end up 6.5 out, I don't care when you're talking about, that's a big number.
No, and that's what I said yesterday. I think that this series only matters if one team sweeps the other, especially if the Red Sox sweep the Yankees. And when you're putting Sale, followed by Price, followed by, I say this with, you know, Porcello, who knows what we're going to get, but he's been damn good so far. That's a good threesome to put up against that batting order that's really struggled. I'm very interested in seeing Stanton. I mean, if Stanton were coming in or hitting like crazy, everyone would want to see him. If he's not hitting at all, everyone wants to see him. He seems to be the storyline, and what can he do? I still think he's going to hit 45, 50 home runs this year when all is said and done, but he's struggling,
you know,
no question.
I think I was going to say it's almost impossible, but it's not because Sale proves that it's not impossible to pitch two starts and have an ERA under one and be 0-0. I didn't know you could do that. I don't know that. I didn't know that was possible.
He did it last year too. They just don't hit when he pitches.
0.82. I didn't know that's mathematically possible.
What's he giving up? One run and two full starts.
I didn't know if you gave up one run that you could not win both games. I mean, that's almost impossible to do something like that. It's crazy.
There's also early in the season, you get all kinds of funky things. You can actually have a higher batting average than on base percentage, or maybe it's the other way. Usually
slugging.
No, usually your on base percentage is higher than your batting average.
Because of walks. Right.
So this is the point of the year where you can have your batting average actually be higher than your on-base percentage because of various scenarios.
Are fans just excited as this Yankee Red Sox as it would if it was in September? Or they're just like, oh, we're just going to watch it as a little fun and enjoy the game, no pressure or nothing like that?
I just think I think the Stanton factor is huge. And I think that the fact that I think Boston fans tend to make more of the rivalry than New York fans do, although I think it's getting closer because Boston has had some success. But there are just so many different factors. I think the Stanton thing is big. Gary Sanchez, I mean, nobody's talked about him early, and I understand we're, 10 games in, 8 games in, whatever we are. He has been beyond hideous, and he's killed the Yankees' offense in the early going, sitting right in the middle of that lineup. He's 2-for-32. He hasn't walked, and he's just wiping out rally after rally. And is Gary – I'm not saying that he's going to hit 060 or whatever he's hitting for the rest of the year, but that's a guy they're counting on usually in that 5 slot.
I'm excited, too, to see the managers, how they handle it. Alex Cora and Aaron Boone, two people who have had their hand in this rivalry in very different ways. I'm excited to see what intensity level they bring to the – to the table, how they handle this rivalry, what's the tone, because it's going to get the tone for this rivalry under these two is going to get set in part tonight. I'm excited for that. This shapes up really well for the Red Sox. They have 1-2 pitching, but you look at that Yankees order, they have struggled not only offensively, but against fastballs in particular. I mean, Stanton's hitting like 208 on fastballs this year, where he crushed anything in the zone last year. And yeah, I'm excited for it. I think it's good. I think it's going to, with the cold weather, it's got, as TC said in hour one, it's got a bit of an October feel to it.
I think that sucks to it, by the way.
It does.
I really do, because I think it takes away from having their best effort out there. By the way, Alex and Monkton said, everything's gone wrong for the Yankees so far. They're still a 500 team. Please stop making the apocalypse in April. So he's right about that. Yeah. You can't tell.
We're not. We're just saying that I think a sweep would not do them any good at this point.
Alex is right.
Being swept.
And you don't want to overstate the importance of one series in April. But, again, this is the old adage. You can't win a division in April, but you can lose a division in April. If you come out of April 10 games behind the Red Sox, that's hard to make up no matter when you're talking about it. That is true.
Town Fair Tire text line if you want to get in, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. Milo says, historically, the Red Sox win early in the season and get the Yankees win late in the season, and it ends up even. So I don't know about
tough
that.
Game to
no,
play.
No, but I absolutely have said right from the start, I couldn't tell you who's going to win the AL East this year. I think these teams are dead even for different reasons. And the fact that the Sox have gotten out to a great start is because the pitching's been good against some weaker opponents. But a win is a win, and the only way to me this series makes any difference is if the Red Sox sweep it. Then the Yankees are digging themselves a little bit of an early hole there.
Yeah, I would rather watch Bruins playoffs than Yankees Red Sox. Am I wrong on that?
No, I'd rather watch Bruins playoffs than anything on earth. Than you with Betafuco or whatever her name is.
No, but I think a lot of people are excited about the hockey playoffs. But yeah,
absolutely.
With the Red Sox Yankees, that's obviously historic, no doubt about that. I'm curious if it's going to be one of those four-hour games in the cold. Is that what we're going to be doing tonight in Severino? And
Sale in Severino? Yeah. Probably not.
Because if it goes 4 hours, they're going to be playing 18 innings or something like that.
Yeah, you know? I think this is – I don't know if it's a quick game, but I think it's a game that's going to have some pace to it because there's a lot of strikeouts coming in this game, no doubt about that.
If I had tickets to this game, I'm being serious, if I'm a Red Sox fan, I'd trade them in and, you know, rather for seeing Red Sox Yankees in that damn cold weather. I just can't do it. You know?
Somebody came up to you and offered you $1,000 for your pair of tickets. Yeah, so would I.
No, but I would trade my tickets in just for any July game. You know, give me, I don't care if the Rays are in town.
Not tonight.
Give me that.
Tonight to me is, I mean, Sale Severino is, that's too much. I would never be able to at any price give those up. I don't care. Just layer, you know, load up on clothing.
Load up on the clothing.
As my old baseball coach used to say in this Southern accent, No such thing as bad weather.
Yeah.
Just bad clothing. Just remember that.
All right. What's going on with Tom Brady? What was the story on that? What's the latest on him, Brady?
People freaking out. I don't even know if that's the right word. People questioning why Brady hasn't signed a contract extension yet. He's got 2 years left on his deal already, but he signed 5 contract extensions in his career. 4 of them came with 2 years left on his deal. He has historically reworked his contract, and he hasn't done that yet, and people are wondering if that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal because that's going to be when he's going to retire, when this contract's up. What?
This is just throwing – let's figure out a way to get the Patriots into the sports day.
No,
what? This isn't even a story.
That's not true at all because Jeff Howe of The Athletic in Boston, he did this story. This isn't mainstream ESPN or Fox just throwing the Patriots out there. This is somebody in Boston with a legitimate question who wrote an entire story on this.
You don't get a contract extension at 43 years old as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
It's like when you're in your late 90s. You're year to year, my friend. I'm sorry to tell you that. If you're listening and you're in your 90s, we love you, but you're year to year. Tom Brady, when you're 43 years old, you're year to year after that. You don't get 2 years, 3 years, and get the tie up and hurt the caps and all that. You're year to year. That's why he doesn't get the extension.
I just think Brady's going to just be waiting it out here and see how it goes. I mean, if he sees the handwriting on the wall over next year and certainly the year after that, then he's going to have to make a decision. I mean, he's going to be 43 years old heading into that.
Maybe he wants to play for another team after Belichick. Maybe he wants – hey, let me tell you something. Maybe it's like, and I'll use this as an example. Brady, what the kids that leave after 4 years after they graduate, like in football, college football, and college basketball, like Cremo for Albany. Maybe they just want to spend 1 year at a different program. Who knows? Maybe Tom Brady's like, before I retire, I want 1 year to go up against Belichick.
At
just
43.
1 year. Yeah, at 43 years old. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy on that. I would like 1 year against Belichick.
I think this is a good thing. I don't want the Patriots tied to Brady until he's 45 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think this is a good thing for both parties. The only thing that I wonder is, would Brady give them salary relief if he extended out his contract? If he signed a contract extension, does that give them salary relief for this season?
He's been doing salary relief for like the last 5 years.
Okay, yeah. Makes it of an actual story, in my opinion, if you're going to phrase it that way. Yeah, because that changes things for now.
So I think it's good to not have Brady for a 4 or 5 year commitment at this point. But does him adding years onto the back end of the contract help with salary relief? First, that would be the only thing I would matter.
If there's any athlete I know that would play for a dollar, I think it would be Tom Brady. He doesn't need it. He's never going to need it. He's got enough money for 9,000 lifetimes. His wife makes 10 times what he makes. And I think he is all about the Patriots getting back to the Super Bowl and winning. And whatever it takes to make that happen, he will set them up financially to do that.
First time texter, finally something I can agree with Arnie on. Wow. No name and number on that. Yeah, because like I said, when you're 43 years old, you're year to year. You don't get like a 2 or 3 year extension on that. John and St. Albans, Brady to the Dolphins. Oh, from your lips to God's ears on that one.
Would so you be happy with Brady to the Dolphins?
Yes, I would.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd rather have a 43-year-old Brady than a 22-year-old Tannehill.
A little bit of breaking local news.
Yes.
Congratulations, former Rice standout Ben Shungu, now on scholarship at UVM.
Given
a scholarship by John Becker. So congratulations to the local product.
I actually knew that, by the way.
Maybe it's not breaking news.
Why didn't you tell us?
I knew last year that it was going to be first year was going to be non-scholarship and that the final 3 years was
breaking news as of 3:45. So I thought I came to the punch there with something good.
Well, that was a year ahead of time, I knew. Wow.
He does seem like he's in line for more minutes next year. I mean, the people who graduated, I would think, would put him right in line.
He's almost good enough to come out to Monday, Wednesday hoops at Williston. I'm thinking about that.
Is that legal? Can you have an active UVM basketball player playing in a Y League?
Can you? Well, no, the Y League's on Tuesday, Thursday.
Yes, you can play pickup.
Yeah, can you?
Yes.
Let's get him out there.
Does John Becker want Ben Shungu playing against people like you that
Ben
have no interest in beating him except to punch him in the face?
Ben and Trimboli 2-on-2 against me and Brady.
How about me and Trimboli against you and Ben?
That's not going to happen.
No offense, Ben, but that would be a blowout.
Wow. All right, Brady, we got some Red Sox tickets to give away. Last pair.
Our last pair of Red Sox tickets right now. 802-655-6672. Do you know Golic and Wingo's word of the day. Can you be caller number 5?
If you know, be caller 5 right now. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3.
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go! All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Flying along on this Tuesday. Remember, we got trivia tonight at the Burger Bar. Come on by. Starts at 7:30. Fabulous prizes.
Fabulous.
Good crowd last week. I mean, it was a really good crowd last week.
They were
week.
There to see me.
Of course they were.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But still, come on out. So are you coming out? You'll be out there.
I will be there tonight. Right. Although I have time to kill since Brady fixed my phone.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to Verizon
anymore. That's very true.
Genius.
Be charged $100 to do what you did in 30 seconds.
Well, come out to the Burger Bar and play a little trivia starting at 7:30. Half price on all appetizers and great drink specials. So.
Wow.
Chow on down like it's going out of style.
Twist my arm.
One story coming across. Jets going to work out. Not only interview, but work out Sam Darnold. Everybody's like, well, why are they doing that? They're picking at number 3. How the hell are they going to get him? Rumor is now that the Jets want to trade up to number 1 to get Sam Darnold. I'm sorry I have to keep saying these trades, but, I mean, they're coming through. One of them's got to be right. I want to make sure that we give out the right one. But we did this last year with Garoppolo. It was trade this. He's going there. This is what comes across on the wires. I mean, what can I tell you? This is what they're saying.
Well, it just keeps the draft thing alive leading up to it. Are we, 15 days away?
Yeah, that's okay. I am so much more invested in draft talk than the other thing everyone else is talking about, and that's who's going to win the NBA MVP.
Oh, yeah. LeBron.
There may not be a topic in sports that people get so worked up about that I just don't care about.
I totally agree. Individual awards.
We all have one. That's yours. Yeah. Mine's the draft.
The NBA MVP does not matter to me.
Well,
one bit.
I should say awards don't matter.
Awards matter to me, not the NBA or the NFL.
Just like when they're controversial, like when Bruce Jenner won, Person of the Year or something from ESPN, and then all of a sudden that was, big story on that one. That to me is a big thing, but I don't give a damn who wins the NBA MVP.
The baseball MVP matters to me. One, because I played baseball, I get that I like it more. Baseball is seen as a statistic award-driven sport. The NBA MVP doesn't matter to me for anything more than flash. The players look at it as a legacy thing, so I get that it matters to them. But I'm not going to sit here and argue for 3 hours LeBron versus Harden versus Westbrook for 3 hours a day every day.
It doesn't matter. And, I mean, really, for the most part, though, like I said, the only reason I go through all these NFL stories is they're just all over. I mean, you could open up your phone at any time and get, 10 more rumors coming out. Something's got to be right. I mean, somebody's got to be right. You can't all be wrong out there.
No, I mean, it's a 12-month league. No question. I'm not saying it isn't. It's just, I guess it's the buildup that makes me crazy.
Yeah. All right, Brady, what was that story now you saw about Sale Kimbrel and Betts?
Yeah, ESPN did a kind of a speculative piece on how many Hall of Famers there are playing in Major League Baseball now, and they say that for the Red Sox, they've got 3 guys they could see going to the Hall of Fame, one being Chris Sale. They said that he is, quote, on the right track, and then in that kind of same vein is Max Scherzer, Stanton, Madison Bumgarner, Jose Altuve, Nolan Arenado. Basically, just keep doing what you're doing.
Is there a certain number we are looking for? Like people say if you have, 500 home runs, you're automatically into the Hall of Fame. Is there a number on saves for Kimbrel that we are looking to get at that's, okay, oh, boom, he reached it. Well, now he's going to be in the Hall of Fame or no?
Kimbrel and Betts are the other ones they say. Yeah. I think those numbers are changing. As the game continues to change, I think those numbers are changing. 300 wins was the lockdown
for
a pitcher. There's not going to be as many pitchers getting to 300 wins. Number one, it was hard to get to anyways. And number two, pitchers just don't pitch as much.
Right. They're gone in the fifth inning every night. So it's all up to the bullpen now.
And they're not eligible for wins as much. As far as saves go, I mean, you would think there might be more saves available as we go through. Pitchers going not as deep in the games.
No, I was going to say less saves because back when Rich and I used to watch baseball, it was only one guy per team. Now it seems like there's not two guys, but there's a guy that will pick up 8 to 10 saves, it seems like, as a secondary. It's like Bruce Sutter got every damn save possible.
Well,
thing
now, too, is they're more interchangeable, I guess, which is basically
what you
said.
Yeah.
But it just seems like there's too many guys out there that teams announce are their closer preseason. They'll say, okay, he's going to start as the closer. Then he stinks for three or four in a row, he's gone. You never hear from him again.
Or they'll put him back in there, but that's not a Hall of Famer, though.
I mean, Colum A had six more saves than any player in baseball last year for Tampa, and he's been horrible, although he got the save last night.
The other one is Betts, and Betts is in that under 26 club that they kind of pointed out. Yeah. I could see Betts being a Hall of Famer. I think he is that good a player. I think he could be a guy who hits 300 homers. I think he could be a guy who steals 300 bases. I think he could be a guy who wins a couple of gold gloves. If he wins, you know, multiple championships, then that's going to play into his legacy also.
I don't know, is that good enough, even with those stats, is that good enough for Hall of Fame?
Well, well now
it's
you
not
look
the
at
Hall
it,
of Good, it's the Hall of
just,
Fame.
I mean, with Mookie, among these three, Mookie's the guy you're guessing on right now. But based on what he's done, if he continues to do this over a 10-12-year period, he's in.
See, I look at Kimbrel as being the furthest away. Number one, I just look
with
at
Mookie?
It as... Yeah, in terms of relief, well, I mean,
Mookie hasn't done anything.
Not the
yet.
Furthest away in time. I look at him being the biggest long shot when this is all said and done. Kimbrel, he's not even halfway to Rivera and Trevor Hoffman's 600-plus save number.
The problem is now athletes will play less than the athletes back in the day. Because back in the day, you want to make as much money as possible. Now athletes make so much money, they don't need to keep playing. I mean, Tom Brady, you know, exception. But you don't need to play when you're making $25 million a year. All of a sudden, you don't have to play at 38, 39, 40 years old.
I mean, Sale and Betts are clearly on track. Sale especially is on track if this continues. Betts is just starting, so we'll see. Kimbrel, to me, is the most fascinating one. As you said, what are saves? I mean, does that get you into the Hall of Fame? But Kimbrel has all the peripheral numbers, too. Has got a career ERA, and I know it's ERA, but ERA matters to a point because that means you're not – you give up runs as a closer, and you're not a closer for very long. He hardly walks anybody. He has a career ERA, I think, of 1.78. He's got about 1.7 strikeouts per inning or something like that. He has way more strikeouts than innings. You look at a Hoffman. You look at a Rivera. They always had their sneaky stuff. They were sneaky good, and they rode it all the way to the Hall of Fame. Guy like Kimbrel just comes in and throws gas and locates it, and I think that's sexy, if you will, for the Hall of Fame voters.
Yeah, but can he do that until 40 like they did? Can he make a living? I don't know that fastball is going to go to 90 all of a sudden at the end of his career, but is he going to be throwing 97, 98 until he's 38 years old? That doesn't happen.
No, I understand, but he seems like a guy who could learn to locate, to pitch instead of just firing the ball. But is he now? He's 29.
I mean, Wagner is not in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Billy Wagner and Craig Kimbrel remind me a lot of each other. Billy Wagner had a great slider. He threw incredibly hard, and he's not in the Hall of Fame either right now. He's on the ballot. He gets votes. I mean, it's not like he's not an afterthought for the Hall of Fame, and I think he might even get in eventually. But he hasn't gotten in his first couple of chances.
I would just say that he's more on track than most relievers right now. I mean, if you look at his save totals, and he has dominated for years. He had one not-so-great year, his first year in Boston, when he had an ERA of 3.5. Other than that, his numbers are unbelievable. His save numbers are like 46, 50, 47, 39. He had 35 last year. He's on his way again this year.
Before you even said that was what I was typing on my computer. Famous best players not into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Steve Garvey? I mean, I'm gonna put Mookie Betts in before I put in Steve Garvey. I'm like, are you kidding me?
But you can't.
Well, yes, but yes,
any comment about Betts because he's 24.
See, that's the problem with baseball, though. So many people are missed out that I'm not. You know, you gotta wait their turn for these guys to get in, for the old guys to get in, and obviously Betts is so young now. But I mean, these guys have great stats, and they're not getting in. They're not getting it.
And Sale, I mean, we haven't really talked about him. Just keep on doing it. He obviously doesn't have to do it as long as Kimbrel does, but he's got to keep this up for four or five more years at least.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think Kimbrel's strikeout numbers. Now, his win numbers are going to be hampered because of where he played a lot of his career in Chicago, but his peripherals are really good too. Trevor in St. Albans texts in, could Kimbrel learn to add movement to his pitches if he loses velocity? Well, yes, he can, but let's remember what closers are a lot of times. And I'm sorry to say this, closers are oftentimes failed starters, okay? And they end up with one great pitch instead of four great pitches. Great starters have 3-4 great pitches. Great relievers have 1-2 great pitches. So, yes, Kimbrel has a really good curveball right now, and he's got a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. when he throws 94, it's going to be a lot harder for him. I'm sorry. That's the way closers are, and that's why they're so volatile.
And I think another thing that hurts Kimbrel a little bit is he just simply doesn't seem to pitch as well unless there's a save opportunity. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen it even when he's been really good with the Red Sox. It can be a Lee Smith kind of heart attack outing every time he goes out there in a tie game.
What's more important, your stats or your stats in playoffs to get yourself in the Hall of Fame?
Depends on who you are, I think. I think it's totally case-by-case dependent.
If you dominate in the playoffs, that makes a huge difference.
I mean, not really, because let me give you the stats.
Curt Schilling?
I was just going to give you his stats, right? Curt Schilling's not in.
No.
He's not the Hall of Fame, and his playoffs statistics are unbelievable. His World Series statistics are unbelievable.
Okay, then it elevates you from whatever you were. Reggie Jackson being known as Mr. October certainly doesn't hurt. Derek Jeter being a clutch playoff performer certainly not going to hurt his reputation. Right. David Ortiz being a clutch postseason performer is not going to hurt his reputation.
You mentioned he went 11-2 with 2.23 ERA, 4-1, and a 2.06 ERA in the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, including bloody sock. And you can laugh at that stuff, but that stuff matters to the voters.
And then you're going to say, and he has 216 wins total. So I'm assuming Sale's going to have over 216 wins when it's all said.
Don't be so sure of that. He only has 91 wins?
No, I didn't know that.
And he's 29 years old.
Yeah, no.
91 wins.
So we're not putting a guy with 216 in, and Schilling stats are
Sale has all the peripherals, too. I mean, he's got massive strikeout numbers. He's got a pretty low ERA, under 3 for his career, but he's only got 91 wins. He's 29.
Going back on Kimbrel real quick. Yeah. Francisco Rodriguez has spent 16 years in the league. He's got 437 career saves. He's won a World Series, and he led the league in saves 3 times. I don't view him as a Hall of Famer.
A compiler to me.
That's what a lot of closers are.
Sort of a Craig Biggio type, although he got in because of it.
Yeah. How many does Kimbrel have now as a career overall?
Kimbrel for saves has a total of 294.
So he's 150 behind Francisco Rodriguez, and I don't consider him to be one.
You can get 150 in 3 years, 3-plus years.
Very dominating
years. 3 good
years,
I take that back.
Very good years.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get 50. Last year, the guy who won had 47. So
Billy Wagner has 422 career saves, and he's not in.
You know who I'm surprised not in, by the way? Thurman Munson. The old Yankee captain.
Now, are you surprised because of his career or the way things ended?
Both.
Yeah.
I thought that would have gotten him in was the way things ended, and because he was the Yankee captain.
The heart
and,
of the Yankees.
And just everything like that. So I'm a little surprised about that. Yeah. You thought the committee would have put him in. I think he's committee eligible, right?
A little bit like Mattingly, you know? I mean,
Mattingly not in either.
No.
That's it's hard for me to think about those three guys as Hall of Famers when we have these guys open, you know what I mean?
Aaron in Bridport says, I made a mistake. He goes, Brady, you meant to say that Sale played in Chicago, but you said Kimbrel. If I said that, that's true.
That's a big one.
But I'd have to go back and review the tape.
And Alex in Moncton said Schilling's mouth hasn't helped.
That's for sure.
That's sure, but I'm not so sure that's why he's not.
I don't know. That stuff matters to some people.
Yeah. Well, too bad it shouldn't. That's for damn sure.
But
Brady,
it does.
What do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, Brad Stevens. He was on Golic and Wingo. We'll get into some of his talk today.
All right, next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle is back. I'm sure you missed us. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, quick show today. Welcome back. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Trivia tonight, 7:30 at the Burger Bar. Come on out. Fabulous prizes.
Fabulous.
And it was a lot of fun. It was pretty packed. It was packed, really packed, last week. So this is the second week of trivia, so come on
out. I'm going to count the amount of people there and see if there's less than last week, because you're hosting. I hosted last week.
Yes.
So I will declare victory if there's one less.
And we got the back room is now. I want that back room to be the Huddle. I want to name that the Huddle. And we can do our show back there and have, like, video games and all kinds of stuff.
It's not like we have to go very far.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
What, half a mile?
That's what I love about it, too. Yes, it's right down the street.
I just find this interesting real quick.
Yeah.
So some of the details on the FBI investigation are coming out about college hoops.
Yes.
So Dana O'Neill of The Athletic says, per the FBI investigation, superseding indictment filed today includes alleged payment of $90,000 to a family of a student athlete at Kansas and $100,000 to Louisville.
Wow.
Arizona wow. out of that one.
Arizona is not going to Sean Miller's not going to be fined any wrongdoing because he they approved a contract. In the contract, there's a $1 million fine against Sean Miller if we find any shenanigans, I guess is what.
So Louisville's still in it. Rick Pitino, fascinating interview the other day with Dan Patrick. I don't know if you heard it.
I did. Man,
He is
snake oil salesman.
He is, and he's good at it. He really.
He's not even good at it anymore.
I listened to the whole interview.
Yeah, he's not good at it anymore.
He went for like a half hour, and I'll tell you, I he had me buying into his act. He really did.
Came across like a knucklehead to me.
He should be a self-help guru or televangelist or something.
He says he blames himself, but he really blames everybody else but himself. Yeah. Is what it is.
Well, he's good at it.
I just do not like the guy. I do not like him at all. I don't think he's a very ethical guy, to be honest with you. So that's what you got there. Brady, let's go ahead and get into what Brad Stevens said on Golic and Wingo this morning.
Yeah, Brad Stevens on with Golic and Wingo today talked about Jason Tatum and his expectations and how they've been exceeded.
Well, initially I thought, he would be very good. We thought that he would be able to score off of actions and in certain matchups, isolation-wise, early on in the league, and that he would just get better over time with continued hard work on and off the court. And I think where he exceeded my expectations is that he probably does that more consistently than I even imagined. And then defensively, it's probably not close to what I expected.
Yes, and Tatum, number one, he's been so good. He's not going to win Rookie of the Year because of Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell.
I was just about to ask you, how did our predictions go at the beginning of the year? Didn't you say he was like an 18-10 guy or a 15-10 guy? I forget what you said.
I said that he was going to be a guy who could average a double-double if he got enough minutes.
A double-double. Okay.
Yeah.
What's the averaging now? I'm looking at
13-6, maybe.
Not
maybe
bad.
I didn't say double-double. I said he could have double figures.
Okay. Not bad.
Oh, he's
not
been bad. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Especially in the last 20 games or whatever, he's been
when he's like had to be
17, 18 points a game.
I didn't think he'd have better numbers than Lonzo at the beginning of the season. I thought that Lonzo was going to go off on that, but of course Lonzo was hurt. But and I still think maybe Lonzo might turn out to be a better pro when it's all said and done. But Tatum's certainly done a lot better than I expected.
The defense has been better than advertised. The 3-point shooting has been better than advertised. And as Steven says, his ability to create his own shot has been more readily available to him early in his career.
He leads the team in games played, too.
That's so for sure.
I think he's going to start every single game this season.
Yeah. If he didn't start every game, because remember, he'd hit the wall.
He's at 79, so there's 79 two games starts, left, so he's going to miss one.
One.
That's right.
They rested him the other day.
Yeah, they rested him the other day. That was it.
But do you buy into – I mean, I listened to that whole interview with very open ears. It was very interested in hearing what he says, and he just – I mean, he's obviously not a rah-rah guy. He's the absolute opposite of that in every way. But, they asked him about, do you really believe that your team can do anything in the playoffs? And he gives the same answer every time. Okay, go ahead.
As we move forward and move on into the playoffs, the one thing that we have been is we've had a lot of experience in being ready, in every guy being ready, because inevitably in the NBA – throughout an 82-game season, if you're on a 15-man roster, your number is going to be called, and it's just a matter of whether you're ready and how you do when it's called.
I guess what I meant was, don't you think he goes to the back room after finding out Kyrie's out for the playoffs, too, and just
drops an S-bomb?
Drops a few bombs, because he just seems so controlled about everything. He's like, well, that's the way it goes, and we completely believe that we can move forward successfully with what we've got.
Nope, I think he is a total believer in sports psychology and all that kind of stuff.
I do, too.
And I think in the world of sports
psychology. He's mini Phil Jackson.
No, because
the whole Zen thing, the books.
Because Phil, though, had a temper. Phil got worked up.
Yes, Phil did get worked up. But he kept it inside him, which wasn't very healthy. He did keep it inside him.
Brad Stevens doesn't get worked up. I think Brad Stevens is total... just what you see is what you get. I think in the sports psychology world, you can't control everything except yourself, so why even stress about it? And he says that, look, we can't focus on what's already happened. We're just focusing on what's next. And I think that's how he lives his life.
Tom Fair, Tire Ticks on John and St. Albans. Arnie, that and the fact that Lonzo stinks. Tatum, great pick there. So, yeah, that wasn't a very good pick thing. Who was going to be the rookie of the year?
Other than the fact that he can't hit the side of a barn, he's pretty good.
Who's going to win? Utah's Mitchell?
He's something.
Mitchell or Simmons. Mitchell, and according to Ben
was
Simmons.
Was 20-1, I think, to win it at the beginning of the year.
And by the way, watch out for the Jazz.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't ever lose.
Except for the Celtics at the buzzer.
Yeah, that's. I mean, but that makes you appreciate what the Celtics did on that Western trip. I mean, that's almost literally their only loss in the last month and a half. Between him and Gobert, mm-hmm. and nobody ever talks about the Jazz. They may make some noise out there.
And then the last thing earlier on Golic and Wingo, Brad Stevens talking about LeBron.
For LeBron to be playing at this level and continue to play at this level is just remarkable. And, you know, we've played him in the playoffs, you know, the two of the past 3 years now. And, you know, he's really special. And I think sometimes he doesn't get as many MVP votes because his name's LeBron. And
I just think it's fascinating as we talk about athletes doing certain things as they get older, from Federer to Brady to LeBron. I think it's fascinating the way, and to Zdeno Chara as well, although he doesn't play at the level that those guys do. I think it's amazing, and I know there's the debate to be had all summer when the content is dry, who's more impressive, Brady or LeBron, in terms of what they do at an age, but it really is remarkable what all of them are doing.
All right, Rich, I'll put you on the spot. I don't know if you have the schedule in the NHL. Give me 30 seconds. Which series, other than the Celtics, or other than the Bruins series, that you would most likely want to watch? To me, the Kings-Vegas. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. I don't know if Vegas is that good, and they're really going to go to the Stanley Cup, and what a year they've had. I got to watch that. Of course, the Kings have just...
I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you this question, and then I'm going to answer
it. Then I'm going to answer it for you.
Exactly what my answer is. I would not be surprised at any outcome of that series.
No, but is that the way you want to watch?
If the Kings wipe out Vegas in four straight, it wouldn't surprise me. Because at some point, this can't be real. It's the bubble's got to burst. And Vegas was a pretty average team the last month of the season.
Right. So I'm looking forward to that one, though.
Oh, I'm absolutely looking forward. They are the story of the year in the NHL by a lot.
Have you guys seen the crowds at those Vegas games? It's insane.
Yep.
That is absolutely crazy.
It's not Nashville insane, but it's getting there.
It's close. It's only 1 year. I can only imagine what's going to happen in year two. We'll come back. Last story standing as we wrap up the show right here in the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Baker Mayfield just can't stand it anymore. He wants to know where he's going to go before the draft. So what do you go do when you want an answer? You go see a psychic. He saw a woman psychic, Leanne. Yeah, I don't know if you know who Leanne is.
I don't know her.
Yeah. Psychic hotline, I'm sure. she told the quarterback, you will be taken by the Arizona Cardinals. So she got specific. She didn't say, you'll be taken by a football team nicknamed by an animal or something like that. She got specific, you know?
They should have her alongside the draft Knicks at ESPN. Yes. How fun would that be?
Oh, that'd be awesome. A psychic predicting where everybody goes. That is awesome. So, yeah, she told Baker Mayfield, you'll be going to the Arizona Cardinals.
By the way, the sports memorabilia world buzzing over Shohei Ohtani. You can imagine. Can you believe it? As of Monday night, last night, his autographed Topps rookie card sold online for $6,725.
Wow.
Sounds like a bargain.
Wow.
I mean, isn't that a common card? He just started.
Yeah.
Not autographed.
Okay, so it's personally autographed. I'm thinking...
No, personally autographed would depreciate its value.
Yeah.
Okay, I figured it was just a copy of his autograph, because a lot of the cards are that way.
Yes, it's actually autographed.
And we got a picture from our Red Sox winner who's at the game right now.
Steve.
Farmer Steve.
Love it. He's getting ready to enjoy the game. Hopefully that game won't get rained out. That's for sure. Oh,
there is a tarp on the field behind him.
Summertime hours for Brady. Brady, what do we got for Champagne Valley Game Night Short Show?
Well, Alex Cora delivered a message to David Price. We'll talk about what that message was.
For intern
Logan.
We did have an intern today.
Yeah, he fetched the water for you.
And I wanted ice cream. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Champagne Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.